We're going to be seeing a mini video remembering our heroes this morning. The message today is about true heroes. We know of heroes that we've rode up with, that we've known over the years. We may not have seen them personally, but we lift them high and want to remember them, especially on this Memorial Weekend. And also, when you think of heroes, the Bible speaks of them as well. And you and I can be heroes as well, as Christians. So if you'll follow along with me with Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Verse 20 says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." And everybody says, amen. Now, there's a lot of definitions for heroes, but what is a true hero in God's eyes? When you search the scriptures, one of the ones that first come to my mind is in Hebrews chapter 11, which gives the hall of faith. What a great cloud of heroic witnesses that have gone on before us. And truly, anyone who gives their life to God is a hero. And the same thing goes for serving our country, our nation. Many have died that we might live. May we never forget. May we forever remember. And when you think about Memorial Day, it is a day of remembrance of those who have died in our nation's service. It's a time in which we honor many of our nation's heroes, and everyone here today can be a hero. How many of you think yourself of a hero? How many of you think of those who maybe look up to you, that you're a mentor to? That you have helped along the way, that you have encouraged. How many of you have been a Barnabas? Barnabas meaning encourager. So, everyone here can be a hero. One can be God's heroes. So this morning, I would like to share with you what it takes to be a true hero, a Christian hero. And you see, a Christian hero is not some superman endowed with numberless abilities or talents. Not at all. So, let's take a look, first of all, at what it takes to be a true hero. a belief in God's Word. Now, that's a big step, isn't it? Belief in God's Word. When we think about God's Word, it can impact our lives from the very beginning, and it should all the way through our life as we study it. As we look at people biblically who have been heroes of the faith, and they are our mentors to look up to. I mean, you know, they were perfect, were they? We're not perfect. But, you know, they were saved by God's grace. They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they struggled just like you and I do. They made a lot of sacrifices in life. So today, many look up to sport stars or movie stars and musicians as heroes. And they are seen as heroes because in many ways they can do things that we can't do, right? We might have when we was younger, but we've never made it to the place where many of them excel, and we wish that we could. They're seen because they can do things we can't do. So, but God's heroes, the heroes of the Bible, were men and women of extraordinary ability or talent, but they were men of extraordinary faith. So it's not because we have the abilities and the talents that God really looks at. He looks at our faith. He wants to know what our faith is. So God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "For consider your calling." How many of you ever considered your calling? Yeah? First of all, to salvation. God extends a calling through the power of the Holy Spirit to each one of us in our calling. He also extends a calling to us maybe in a service to Him in some capacity. But it says, "For consider your calling, brethren, that there are not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong." And then in verse 28, it says, "And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, and the things that are not, so that He may nullify the things that are." In verse 29, "So that no man may boast before God." Now, none of us can boast. God gives us the wisdom. He gives us abilities. He gives us the talents and everything. And it's not by our works or anything like that we can even be saved. But it's faith by grace that we are saved. Now, the heroes of the Bible all took God at His word. And that's why I go back and say, you know, to be a true hero, we need to have a belief in God's word. And the heroes of the Bible took God's word serious. Let's look at what it was said about Abraham in Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Says, "In hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many generations to that which had been spoken. So shall your descendants be." God said, you know, your descendants are going to be mighty. They're going to be powerful. They're going to be mightier. They're going to be more than the stars in the sky. They're going to be incountable, innumerous. And then verse 19. Well, I just jumped ahead, didn't I? Wow, I don't know how it did that. Without becoming weak in the faith, he considered his own body now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. Now, how many of you have, when you're 100 years old, you can do the things like Abraham and like Moses and all of those that was mighty in the faith? And I know I hear a lot of people say, when I retire, I'm just going to sit back and relax. And usually, when is that? In the 60s. You're just getting wound up. You're just getting introduced into the hall of faith at that age. And God's not through with you then. But without becoming weak in faith, he considered his own body now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. And then verse 20, yet with respect of the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in his faith, giving glory to God. Now, certainly God can use a person of great intellect, right? He can use people like that, not being boastful or proud, but with intellect. But only as long as the faith is even greater. Now, most would say, of course, I believe in God's word, but how about those commands that you aren't obeying? Many times you heard me say, I believe the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But how many of us really live those words out from Genesis to Revelation? And sometimes we only practice those things we believe, even though we say we believe the whole Bible. But we're human sometimes, we say, right? But we have to have a strong faith in the Word of God in order to know where God stands and what God wants us to do in our life. Now, looking at our commitment to God's will. In Hebrews, I think I done passed that up, haven't I? A commitment to God's will. In Hebrews 11:13-14, it says, all these died in faith without receiving the promise, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and aliens on earth, for those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. Now, getting to where we're getting caught up here. It's been said, a hero is someone who is sincere and does his duty. He is a man who really stands up and is counted. Now, I'm going to say that again. A hero is someone who is sincere. Now, someone said that, but sometimes we can be so sincere, but we can also be wrong as well, right, in our beliefs. But when it comes to believing in God's word and when it comes to being committed to God's will, we need to be sincere, and we need to be sincere about our duty. And Phillips Brooks said, it does not take a great men to do great things. It only takes concentrated men, dedicated, committed. And that's what the Bible is speaking of here, about the men of faith here in Hebrews chapter 11, these here in Romans, like Abraham and Sarah and Moses and all of these who gave their life for the cause of Christ. Now, looking at the Holy Spirit, see, the Holy Spirit chooses the nobodies of the church and makes them somebodies when they are committed to God's will in their lives. See, it's about the Holy Spirit working in our lives, perfecting us, helping us to understand that God really has something for us to do. Now, the most powerful weapon on earth is a human soul on fire for God. And through all the awakenings, through the generations past, it was men and women at a specific time in life where God moved in a mighty way through the churches and through nations. And in, we have seen that in the United States. Now, we haven't seen a great awakening like there were in the early century, but there have been many, many revivals over the past years. And there have been some here in Ripley County. We've seen God's movement. And we see God's movement, especially when there are diverse things going on in the world that really get our attention, devastations and so forth. But we need, God is looking for men who are dedicated daily no matter what is going on within our world. We are to be concentrated to the will of God to be and to do whatever he requires. So when we look at Psalms 37:5, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Now I want to stop right there. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Okay, if we look at that before we go on to trust, but if we commit at the very beginning of our salvation and if we remember our obligations and our responsibility to the Lord, then we will remain committed. Then it goes on to say, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Now, looking at that commitment and trusting in him, if we do that, it will come to pass. And we don't have to wait. We just go about our duty and responsibility of working and serving and being true heroes of the faith. It will come to pass. And you've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. God uses people who are closest to him. And when it comes to Abraham, when it comes to Moses or Apostle Paul, when it comes to you and me, as we read God's word and as we get closer to him, as we rest upon him, and as the scripture says in Psalms 46:10, be still. That was a scripture I used last week. Be still and know that I am God. So when we are still and we are committed unto his ways and we trust in him, and as we move along and grow progressively and spiritually in our lives, then you see it will come to pass. And that's why these men who were so committed and dedicated in their lives, that's why they're here in the scriptures, because they are those cloud of witnesses. Those are the heroes of faith. Just like our men and women who have served in a military, who have given their life for freedom, they were committed. They were dedicated. And many of them were Christians. And praise God, they fought for a cause that they believed in. The men and women in the hero of faith in Hebrews, they fought for a cause. You look at the Apostle Paul. I mean, he went about what he thought was doing good, persecuting the church, the Christians. He thought he was doing a right cause. He was sincere in what he was doing, but he was wrong of what God intended for him to be. But then he aligned him up. And then Paul became committed to the way of God. He trusted in him, and he followed him. And that way, that by that reason, what he did came to pass. It was fulfilled because he committed himself unto the Lord. So, James S. Hewitt said, give me a man who fear nothing but sin and deserve nothing but God, and I will shake the world. I care not about a straw whether they be a clergyman or layman or such thing, along with overthrow the kingdom of Satan, but build up the kingdom of God on earth. Well, he said, just give me 100 men. I wonder what he would say now. Give me one, give me two, give me five, give me 10. God often started pretty high, and then he would go down to 10, 30, 20. Give me 10, and I will spare your nation. I will spare your life. See, the question is this morning, are you committed to God's will? Not only committed to following where he leads, but where he has already led. See, he leads us daily by day. And it's one thing to pray about a big decision and to do God's will, but it's another thing to make sure you are doing what is in God's will. And I say this morning, you should be, you can be, and now will you be, oh, committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and your service to him. Now, next thing that we need to look at is devotion to God's work. In James chapter 2, verses 18 through 22, James says, but someone may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons, or Satan, also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, your foolish fellows, that faith without works is useless? Was it not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see, the faith was working with his works. As the result of works, faith was perfected. See, God is wanting to perfect us through our commitment, our dedication, by our works. See, it's not works that get us to heaven. Works coincide with our faith. And when we look at our faith and our works together, this leads us to a devotion to God's work. Teddy Roosevelt said, I am only an average man, but I will work harder than any average man. Now, many of you remember Teddy Roosevelt and as our president and so forth. And I guess we would often look at him as above average, but he called himself average. See, God is just looking at someone that is committed. Whether we're average or unaverage or whatever, God is looking for us to be committed no matter what. Heroism is faith transported into action. Now, as we look in our conclusion here this morning, there's a Norwegian proverb that says, a hero is one who knows how to hang on 1 minute longer. Some days we'll say, if I can just hang 1 minute, you know, what about a day? Just give me a whole day, not just a minute. But if we can hold on one more day. How many of you, when you're going through school or college or going through some kind of test in your life, how many have ever been told, if you, stay one more day, hang on one more day, give it one more day, whether it be on your job or school, whatever it might be, just hang on one more day. See, in Christ's service, the heroes are those who walk until Christ says it is time to stop. And that is true. I like that. I'm going to say that again. In Christ's service, the heroes are those who work until Christ says it is time to stop. You know what? I have claimed that myself. I don't know how long the Lord's going to use me as a pastor or whatever, but I'm in for it to the end. Till he says, stop. How about you? In our Christian walk, can we say, I am committed to follow through, to endure until God says it's time to stop? Well, I am so thankful this morning for our men and women who endured, and they kept on plugging and going on and giving of their lives, just like the ones here in the Hero of Faith. In Hebrews 11, in the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, they are those who, they was in Christ's service, they were heroes, and they stayed to the task until God said, it's time to stop. See, Jesus, he is the ultimate hero. He's the ultimate hero who gave his life that we might live a life more abundantly. Now, the question is this morning, are you one of God's heroes? Where do you stand here this morning? A Christian can be a hero. You should be. You can be. Now will you be? That's the question to each one of us. As we look at this day that we celebrate and remember of our men and women served over the years, our country, our nation, who we consider heroes, and they are rightly so in their own right. And see, there's many, many heroes, many people that we can look up to. And the ones that God is looking for are those who are willing to be heroes of faith, just like those here in God's Word this morning. So our challenge this morning is to recognize our heroes and remember them, how they served our great nation. Heroes covers from military to the biblical heroes of faith. Those people who we can look up and say, they stayed the task. They were committed. They were dedicated. I respect them. I honor them. And see, but the number one hero in our lives should be Jesus Christ. It wasn't for him, we would have no freedom at all, especially from sin. So he's the one that deserves all the credit in our lives for what price he paid for sin. A price could not be paid any other way except going to the cross, dying for our sin. And if we consider ourselves a hero of any aspect, we can look to the cross and see Jesus Christ as the ultimate hero of faith. Our Father God, we praise and we thank you. Lord, we love you. We care about how we looked to other people and how we looked up one another. Lord, we thank you for the price that you paid on Calvary for our sins. We thank you that you was willing to go to the cross. There's been many sacrifices in life, but you paid the ultimate price for sin, the shed blood. There's something about shed blood, the cost of freedom, and it doesn't come easily. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that this morning as we look to your throne, look for your guidance, look for your wisdom. Lord, help us to be mindful how we come short of your glory, how we come short of your righteousness. And this morning I just pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior. I just pray that they'll take that step this morning. Look to you as the ultimate Savior, ultimate person that we can go to at any time with our cares, with our hardships, with our burdens. And Lord, you will relieve us. You will help us. You will forgive us. We thank you for you, for the salvation that you offer each one of us here this morning. If there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally, Lord, we pray for their salvation this morning. Anyone here that doesn't, that's looking for a church home, may Versailles Baptist Church be the place that they'd be willing to come and serve in fellowship and worship together. This is your invitation here this morning, Lord, and we just pray that we will honor you with our lives as we commit and dedicate our service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 358.